Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Vanessa and Gallant show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Paul Gallant. Vanessa's going to be back with us tomorrow as she's been up in Indianapolis with her family after the passing of her father. We're looking forward to having her back with us. I am merely Paul Gallant. It is April 11th of 2022. 33 years ago today, I broke my mom's hips coming into the world. And I have realized something over the course of this weekend, where I did turn 33 years old. It is this. I'm old.
Oh, but Paul, you're not that old. You're 33.
No, I mean, it's all of a sudden I am just feeling the effects of getting in my 30s. I never thought that I would come to see the day where this took place multiple times over the course of one weekend. But guys, I fell asleep watching sports. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Yes. 3 times your boy fell asleep watching sports this weekend. You could make the argument that I would in the past. Oh, well, you know, you were watching baseball on a Friday after driving a really long time, going all the way down to Hitchcock to the BTR Cajun cook-off. Oh, that was a lot of fun. I was a little tired coming back. But watching the Astros from Apple TV on Friday night, yep, fell asleep. Woke up when all of a sudden the Astros started bashing the bejesus out of the ball against the Angels towards the very end of that game. So I woke up to see Jeremy Pena's parents getting interviewed, and then Jeremy Pena went yard, but I'd fallen asleep there. Saturday, I mean, in my defense, I did actually like stay out all night. I was up till 4 in the morning, but in the morning, while I was up, having some coffee, was watching some Masters on the CBS app, the Paramount Plus app, fell asleep again. I mean, I'd just woken up. I had no reason to fall asleep again. And then yesterday, yeah, I fell asleep watching the Masters. Woke up and just in time to see Scottie Scheffler win it. The number one ranked golfer in the world, which I did not know going into the weekend. But damn it, by the end of it, I sure did because he killed everybody. He blew everybody away. I remember checking out on the television on Saturday seeing, oh my God, this guy's ahead by like 10 strokes. This is crazy. And after a somewhat awkward finish to his final round where he tried to tap one in, missed it. Tried to tap it in again, missed it. He gets it on the third time. Third time is the charm, and he takes home the 2022 Masters.
Scheffler outshines them all at Augusta.
I'm not going to lie. I thought we were going to have a better call from Jim Nantz than that. A little underwhelming. I guess Shine and Scheffler, there's like a little bit of alliteration that's going on there. But as far as our, you know, Nance-isms, that's probably a D plus, C minus. Like I suppose, you know, D's get degrees, C's, same thing. But a little bit of a depressing one. He killed everybody out there. And, you know, when you take a look at everybody else that he was in competition with, whether it was Tiger Woods, who had a pretty disappointing Saturday and Sunday, he shot 78 on both of them. But it was great to see him out there, of course. And, you know, with the way that he started off the tournament, I think the real question was going to be, okay, well, this is a marathon, not a sprint. How is he going to do the last couple of days? And, yeah, not quite what we saw early on Thursday, of course. But we'll see him at the British Open coming up. That's great to hear. And you also saw Rory McIlroy at the very back hitting a final round 64, which was cool. But yeah, Scottie Scheffler wins. And, I mean, cool? I hate to say it like this because Scottie Scheffler is the number one golfer in the world and he had an awesome weekend at the Masters. I guess I'm just not as excited about it as I should be. Would you want your, if your name was Scott, would you want to go by Scottie, by the way? a random thought that came across my head over the course of this. I feel like you want to go by Scott and not Scotty. Scotty feels like it's a little bit underhanded, perhaps a little bit demeaning. Maybe this is because my best friend's little brother growing up was named Scott, but we called him Scotty. But I don't know. There's just something about being Scotty Scheffler. Eh. I feel like I would be annoyed to be called that. I would want to be called Scott. I am Scott Scheffler, Masters winner, as opposed to, oh, there's Scotty Scheffler. I don't know. It sounds like someone that you may have been made fun of for peeing his pants in third grade or something like that. Oh, there goes Scotty again. Psst. I look at Scotty Scheffler, though, and it was a great weekend, and I wonder if he's going to be able to keep this up because clearly he is on top of the golf world. As far as the Astros go, they took 3 of 4 over this first series of the year against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. We talked about briefly the 13-6 victory that they had on Friday, where everything looked good. Everything looked good. In particular, Alex Bregman, who, by the way, also looked awesome yesterday. Bregman's been playing fantastic baseball, and yesterday this hit put the Astros in command en route to a 4-1 victory.
Now a base hit can give the Astros the lead with Siri speed on second. There's a line drive base hit to center field. 2 runs will score. Alex Bregman drives it RBIs 5 and 6. Ball gets away from Trout. Bregman into second base, and he is safe. 2-1 Astros.
He's been awesome thus far, really. In the field, at the plate, I mean, he is off to an incredible start. He is batting .429. He has a slugging percentage of .857. It's a great start, and hopefully he stays healthy. That's all you can really do right now, but man, it's been really great to watch. I mean, clearly he is what he was, and he is no longer affected by any of those injuries that have been a pain in the ass for him over the last couple of years. And again, the question I had, all right, can he play 130 games for you? If he plays 130 games for you, I think he's going to be one of the top 5 guys for MVP in baseball, regardless of what other people do. Like, just with the way that he has started off, not only this at the plate, and not only with the production, it's what he's been doing in the field, too. It seems like there's been a web gem every single game for him. Other things from the weekend is the Astros, they did lose on Saturday. We saw Justin Verlander. Verlander looked really good. Unfortunately, he got outshined by Noah Syndergaard, but in a matchup between two guys that were coming back off of Tommy John surgery, it was a nice look for Justin Verlander. 5 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 home run, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts along the way. And look, I don't know how many starts we will see from Verlander this year or how many games that we will see him go deep into a game. He only threw 5. I think that that's probably going to be the expectation for him for the majority of this year. I think the days of him throwing the complete games or close to complete games or even just 7 innings, I think those days might be done. But he looked really good. I mean, it's just a shame that the Astros' bats weren't able to put anything together. And you kind of get it when you take a look at the lineup. It's not exactly like, you know, you have Yuli Gurriel, who's with his wife. They're expecting, you know, a child. So, you know, some of the guys that you expect to be there every single night aren't in there. Goodrum, he was playing first base. Like, I didn't know who the hell he was. So no offense to him. I was like, whoa, okay, that guy, I don't recognize him at all. You had Aledmys Diaz in there. But someone else, Jason Castro's in there. Chaz McCormick has actually been doing all right. He's in the lineup too. Like, so you're missing some of your key guys. But Jeremy Pena, I had some concerns about Jeremy Pena after the first game of the year on Thursday. And a lot of it had to do not with his bat, because I figured his bat would catch up eventually, but it had to do with his glove. Mainly because I felt like, oh, you take a look at his arm. His arm going from shortstop to first base, he had to pick one out of the dirt. Did Yuli Gurriel. You also saw another one where he just threw the ball away. It's an error. You think to yourself, oh, well, I thought Pena was definitively good as a fielder. Turns out, though, I mean, the guy can absolutely crush it. Like, he pulls the hell out of the ball. And he had 2 3-hit games over the weekend. Friday, he goes 3 for 5, and he gets the home run while his parents are being interviewed. This moment's just precious. It sounds lame to say, but this was how it was heard on Apple TV on Friday night.
I know he have a lot of good people around him. And now he's taking it.
Happy now. Cecilia, what are you feeling?
You're gonna kill me.
Very happy. Oh, I don't know, Steven. They might make me stay here for the rest of the game.
Oh, come on.
Happy. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Did you teach him everything he knows,
Roman? It was
incredible. Did you teach him everything?
Yes. So that was on Apple TV. And the Apple TV broadcast, I gotta say, it was a work in progress over the course. You could clearly hear the all the people on the call trying to figure out how to talk with each other. But I liked it. It was irreverent. It was a little wacky, which I think is good. But as far as Jeremy Pena goes, not just 3 for 5 on Friday. And you have to feel like when you get that big first home run of your career, that it must feel you make you feel extremely confident. But you also saw yesterday, he's been pretty damn good at the plate. So, look, I'll fully admit that I am a very overreactionary person when it comes to baseball. I was a little concerned about the arm that I saw on opening night. And, of course, opening night, I'm going to overreact to everything that I saw out there. But Jeremy Pena at the plate, I mean, he was in the 2 spot yesterday. And he goes 3 for 5. He has had 2 doubles. He's had a home run. He's been looking pretty good thus far. So that's been a really promising thing to see as the Astros season starts to go 3 of 4 against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Paul Gallant. Vanessa's going to be back with us tomorrow right here. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Taking your calls at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next on this radio program of ours, we got an update on what's going on with Deshaun Watson and the suspension that he actually might face this year. Plus, oh boy, was not a good look for a couple of prominent NFL talking heads over the weekend. We'll talk about that too. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's going to be back with us tomorrow. I'm Paul Gallant. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Some reaction to the previous segment. Most people on the Twitch seemed to be like me in that maybe once Tiger Woods was out of it, they didn't care as much. It's kind of what golf is these days. A bit of a shame, but you know what? For those who do appreciate golf, there also was a cool moment that I did not mention in that first segment where both Rory McIlroy and, on top of that, like back-to-back, you saw Colin Morikawa as well. Both of them hit on the 18th hole shots from the bunker. That was pretty badass. That's pretty hard to do. Because obviously, none of us listening are good at golf no matter how much we play. How often are you going to be able to do that? And these guys, professionals, did it like it was a game of horse or something like that, while playing golf. Someone asked me the question, too. This is fake Tony Stark. Is it called the British Open? It should be called the British Open. I know it's called the Open. It should not be called the Open. Get the hell out of here. There's a U.S. Open, isn't there? So why is the British Open the Open? Why? I don't buy into that. I'm sorry. I don't subscribe to that. We fought a war of independence against the English once. We fought against them again in 1812. We have fought against their oppression for years. And as an Irish/Scottish/French-Canadian-American, I refuse to call it anything but the British Open. I will clarify where it takes place. The Open? My ass. It is not the Open. It is the British Open from here on out. Anyway, people are suggesting I'm simping for Katie Nolan, perhaps, on the broadcast. You don't know that. You don't know that. I wasn't Hunter Pence, I'm not going to lie. Like it took him a while to get going on that Apple TV broadcast on Friday. There were times where I was like, is that Bill Barnwell talking? Bill Barnwell from ESPN, who has a very distinct voice, if you will. But I don't know, I thought there were a couple of moments where he shined. And towards the end of the game, where the game actually got good, I felt like the broadcast was pretty good. But everyone's, you know, a critic these days. And yeah, maybe I am a sim for Katie Nolan. Whatever, it's fine. 713-780-3776 is how you call, and it's also how you text in to Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Deshaun Watson is not going to go to trial over the course of this coming season. We found that out from Adam Farese of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. The lawyers handling the cases have agreed that no trials will be scheduled between August 1st of 2022, this coming August, of course, and March 1st of 2023. You also take a look at the language of Deshaun Watson's contract, and it seems to imply that he will be suspended in some way, shape, or form one of the next 2 seasons. This isn't a Pro Football Talk write-up where each paragraph of the addendum to the contract agreement basically says that anything, specifically, quote, anything solely in connection with the matters disclosed to the club and running pursuant to paragraph 42. Jeez, this is difficult to read. If the player is unavailable to a club solely for games during the 2022 or 2023 league year. So they actually have a little bit of built-in security here. But I don't think the NFL is going to give that much of a suspension, at least based off of the way that you probably think that they should. I feel like six games is probably what it's going to end up being. Could be totally wrong on that front. And obviously any suspension is good for the Texans because it's going to hurt the Browns for the coming regular season and probably makes the Texans draft pick better vicariously. But essentially, since he's not going to be charged with a felony or a misdemeanor involving fraud or moral turpitude, there is not going to be potentially any of that completely guaranteed contract that he has taken away. A little frustrating, but whatever. He's gone. We move on. This was very sad to see over the weekend, also in the NFL, where Dwayne Haskins, former Ohio State quarterback, former Washington football team quarterback, and former Pittsburgh Steeler, passed away. He was crossing the highway in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he was struck and killed by a dump truck. Just absolutely horrible to see. And in particular, at least based off of all the reaction that you see to it, and of course, whenever anyone young passes away, I mean, what is there to do or say except for just be completely shocked? But I think it was really telling what some of the people that worked with him in Pittsburgh had to say about him. It seemed like this was a guy in Dwayne Haskins who maybe was never going to be a star quarterback in the league, but seemed to be figuring life out. And again, I don't know the specifics of his personal circumstances or anything like that. All I know is that the way that everyone was talking about him afterwards is talking, and Chase Claypool even said, this is a guy who, you know, essentially was a model to me. You see that, and it's just absolutely crushing. You know, you're thinking about Dwayne Haskins, his parents, his family, his wife, like everyone. To see something like that that just happens so suddenly and so tragically, it's absolutely terrible. And, of course, with the way that things are covered now in 2022, there was a strong reaction to some of the conversations and, I guess, descriptions of his passing. Adam Schefter, in the immediacy of this, tweeted out something where it says that he had Dwayne Haskins struck and killed by a car, a man struggling to make it in the NFL. And people got mad about that. And I don't blame them for getting mad about that. I don't think it was entirely like malicious or anything like that. But I can see how like that's not something anyone gives a bleep about right now. No one cares about whether or not he was trying to make it in the NFL. You care about the actual human being there. He's a 25-year-old. I mean, not even 25-year-old kid. You know, he's still figuring things out. And hopefully he would have been able to. So you see that and you put out by Chef there and it gets annoying. I think some of the reaction to it, though, it is a little bit over the top. And I know we like to get mad about things these days. I'll just say it from this perspective. Like, that is something that weeks from now, months from now, we will talk about with Dwayne Haskins. It's just you don't do it in the immediacy. And you especially don't do this. Gil Brandt works for the NFL Network. He's a longtime scout. And I guess to be polite, with old age, we all lose a bit of a filter. But Gil Brandt was asked about the passing of Dwayne Haskins. And good God, this was just bad. This was on a SiriusXM NFL radio interview. Here is Gil Brandt.
I hate any time anybody is killed or anybody dies. But he was a guy that was living to be dead, so to speak. You know, they told him, don't under any circumstances leave school early. You just don't have the work habits. You don't have this. You don't have that. What did he do? Left school early. I always can remember this. We invited players to the draft. And he was one of the players we invited to the draft. And we were told, no, we're going to have our own party. His own party was a party at the bowling alley. Charged him $50 to get into the bowling alley.
So many things to unpack there, right? Living to be dead? Jesus, dude. First off, that's just the first part. You go a little bit further. Oh, if he stays in school, this is going to be different? And I get it. He's 90. clearly you can hear him. He sounds a bit like a geezer, a fogey, who maybe doesn't have all of his bearings together. But what relevance is a birthday party that he is having, or excuse me, not a birthday party. What relevance is a party that he's having for himself for the NFL draft? Oh, he's charging $50 to get in? What a random side note, side commentary to a guy who I feel like his story wasn't finished. We've seen plenty of players come into the league and completely struggle. They have time, and you hope that they can turn it around. Because just like we like tearing people down like Gil Brandt is doing here, we also love a comeback story. But Brandt wasn't done, incredibly. He goes further, and I feel like whoever was perhaps doing this interview maybe should have stepped in and tried to move things along. Nope, Gil just kept going.
You know, maybe if he'd have stayed in school a year, he wouldn't do silly things. I mean, I don't. When you're jogging on a highway, you know, on a road like that, that leaves it open because I tell you, so guy has two drinks and he's just a little bit to the right side of the road and gets hit and killed. It's easy to happen.
Yeah. I want to just share this. This is a statement that...
And then the guy says, like, yeah. I mean, come on, man. If you're hosting that, you got to push back. You got to push back on that. Gil, look, he's been around for a while. Is this surprising commentary coming out of him? No, I feel like there's been other instances of him where he's been completely tone deaf along the way. You got to think that through a little bit more. Perhaps he wasn't. But good God, man. I mean, some of the takes that are coming out of that, like the continuously going back to the school thing. What are you talking about? What does it have to do with anything? Seriously. And, you know, I've always struggled with this. I'm always unsure about how to talk about someone who has just passed away. Because especially in sports, like we're talking about human beings who clearly have families, friends, etc. But also at the same time, too, have this different legacy to just the average person who doesn't know them, that's never gotten to know them on a day-to-day basis. You know, it's weird. We talk about them almost like they're not human. And, you know, there's an entire story that's out in the open about some of these people. I remember when Kobe Bryant passed away, one of the things I was thinking about was, okay, well, I mean, you know, it seemed like he, in the second half of his life, had figured some things out and perhaps, you know, had learned from some obvious mistakes that he made early on. But those early mistakes, specifically what happened in Colorado, that was something that I was like, so do we talk about this today? Are we not supposed to talk about it today? I'm not really 100% sure how to go with that. And it is strange to hear, like, Dwayne Haskins was apparently trying to cross a highway and stuff. But to bring up all of those things and to say at the very beginning of that quote, like, he was living to be dead. Like, what is wrong with you, man? Seriously. And I would just speak from the perspective of someone who has hosted a talk show before. Did you just check out completely? Guy who was hosting that when Gil was saying that? Like, you got to push back. I'm sorry. Anyway, that was rough to see. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Matt has an Astros thought. Matt, what's going on, man? You're on Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call, man. I just wanted to talk just a little Astros and some things that stood out for me, and I wanted to get your take on something in particular. And I'll go ahead and preface my call by saying I know I'm overreacting. But with the good first, I think you saw some awesome things. Justin Verlander looking like an ace coming off of Tommy John. You had Jeremy Pena, who at bare minimum showed he looks like he's going to be a competent major leaguer for a good team. And then Alex Bregman looked like Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
And now I want to get to what bothered me and get your take on it. And it's particularly about Dusty Baker.
Mm.
So Saturday, he sits Bregman, which we're two games into the season, and you got an off day coming Monday. I didn't understand the benching, but fine. So he benches Bregman. But then he sticks Nico Goodrum in the three hole.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, what did you think about the benching of Bregman, and then even yesterday on a day after you got shut out, benching both Altuve and Brantley on a day before an off day, with Yuli already being out on paternity leave. So, yeah, basically, what's your thoughts on Baker's lineup
changes and the benching of players so quickly in the season? Oh. Thanks for your time and thanks for taking my call.
This is a good call. See, that's a strong baseball take question. Seriously, that's a good one. I have no explanation for that on Sunday because Matt is 100% right. Why is Alex Bregman not in the lineup on the third day of the season? I get it. You give guys scheduled days off, but as you heard from Matt too, you're off today. That is a weird one. And on top of that too, putting Goodwin in the three hole, the lineups have been a little strange. Like, I'm still weirded out by the fact that Kyle Tucker is batting so late in the lineup. Like, Kyle Tucker was borderline MVP candidate for you last year. He was your arguably best player, unless you want to say it was Yuli Gurriel. Gurriel's out. Yeah, why is Tucker so low in the order? That's the other question I have. So I think, Matt, that's something that we're going to have to keep monitoring from here on out. As you said, yeah, overreacting a little bit because it's early on in the season, but I'm with you. That is very confusing to me, especially after, you want to have help for Justin Verlander. Verlander, as you said, looked really good out there, and you don't have anyone out there for him. Not good. Not a good look. So that's a good call, Matt. Appreciate it. And we'll keep an eye on what Dusty's been doing with the lineup. But I think if there is a question about Dusty Baker thus far this year, it's been, what's going on with the lineups? They seem bizarre. And I can't think of a logical explanation for that question that Matt had on Saturday. So it's a mistake in my book. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Also, if you've got thoughts on what you heard from Gil Brandon, just speaking of those who have passed away. We do have a development for the Astros going forward, and it featured a very cool montage that you will hear next. What's the newest thing going for the Astros? You'll find out. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa back with us tomorrow. Still up in Indianapolis with her family after her father passed away. Really looking forward to having her back. I'm Paul Gallant. We've got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Most people agree 100% with Matt's call. I do too. I don't know anyone who disagrees with that. It's weird. Weird the way that they've been using the lineup this far. It's early, not a big deal. Someone suggested maybe they were trying to go right, left, right, left, right, left. That's potentially true. Still, you got Bregman. Why not use Bregman? Especially now that you got these 28-player rosters. Is that the logic here? Is that you have a bigger roster, so you want to play everybody to make sure that nobody's too on ice, say an injury happens or something like that? I honestly can't think of a really good reason, though. Bregman's playing amazing thus far, and maybe this is a part of managing his games played this season or something like that. Maybe there is a number that they want to keep him at to make sure that he doesn't get hurt again. So maybe they're thinking, like 140 and maybe less or something, but it's really hard to think of a logical explanation for having him benched in Saturday's game. Also, people are asking, Paul, why are you wearing this jersey? Because it's my 33rd birthday, bruh. Also, because when I was a little kid, the first sporting game I ever went to, I met Larry Bird before it. So I'm obsessed with Larry Bird. So, 33, Larry Bird, grew up a Celtics fan, blah, 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 blah. Paul, what about the 86 Celtics, man? They took down the Rockets. That wasn't cool. It's fine. I wasn't born yet, though. Not my fault. Not my problem. I don't think I'm allowed to claim that title as mine, even though, like most Celtics fans, I say, look, yeah, 17 titles. Hey, the Lakers, all their titles came against Minneapolis. Well, all the Celtics titles came against, like, a bunch of unathletic people in a four-person league. Fine. Doesn't matter. Anyway, the Nike-ification / NBA-ification of all sports has continued. The Houston Astros are going to have some new uniforms as part of what is this series called? I forget what it's called, but baseball is essentially releasing all sorts of new uniforms as part of, what is it, Sean?
It's the City Connect.
City Connect. Got it. So the Astros tweeted this picture/video out. With this jersey, we remind the world, this is Mission Control. This is Houston. This is Space City. And they put together a pretty cool video featuring narration by astronaut Dr. Bernard Harris. Anyway, here is the audio of said video, which does sound pretty cool.
What's the first word that comes to mind with space travel?
Houston.
Houston has always been on a mission. A mission to innovate. A mission to inspire. A mission to win. And this uniform represents that calling. It represents the belief that human potential is limitless. It represents a city that is down to earth, but looks to the stars. A city whose past and future inspire small steps and giant leaps. With this jersey, we remind the world that this is Mission Control. This is Houston. This is Space City.
It's pretty cool. Nice little montage. I really like the part where he says, like, it's a down-to-earth city that's always looking at the stars. I was like, hell yeah. That's awesome. That's a pretty accurate description. Down-to-earth. That's how I think any city should want to be described. We ain't like Dallas up north. Hey, look how fancy I am. Look at my nice shoes. Look at my nice car. Yes, I'm $30,000 in debt. It's fine. I look good because I live in something that wants to be Los Angeles, even though it is essentially bordering on a dust bowl. Look at us. We're basically in Oklahoma, Dallas, the Los Angeles of the kind of South. Even though, again, we're like in Oklahoma / Arkansas. Can you really make that claim? I don't like the uniforms. I don't like them. Hot take, I don't like them. You know why? Because baseball uniforms, God forbid me be the old man here, but baseball uniforms are supposed to look classic. This doesn't look classic at all. This looks like the kind of stuff that you would see in the Canadian Football League or in the Arena Football League. It's trying to do what is being done right now in the NBA, where every single basketball team now has a million uniforms, and a lot of them look like ass. I'd say most of the ones that the Celtics, all these alternate uniforms they have, they're terrible. I'll give this, at least the Rockets have some good alternate uniforms. Like, I like the pinstripe look. I know not everybody liked it back in 94, 95. Maybe it disrupted the momentum of having won back-to-back titles. It's very weird to change your uniforms after winning two titles in a row. Makes no sense to me at all, in fact. But some of the alternates that they have, I like the Houston Oiler color jersey that they have too. It's totally pandering to Oilers fans and whatever. It looks good. Sean Mace behind the glass is like, no, hell no, bro.
No, the Oiler Rockets ones, those are nasty. Those, I hated those.
Nasty in a good way. You're right,
Sean. No, nasty in the nasty way.
Nasty in the, they're so nasty, they're good. They're amazing. I love them, but I hate this new Astros look. I do. I don't like it. The hats look awkward. It's too much blue going on. No. Doesn't look good. Sorry. And they're going to get every single penny they can. They're going to milk it all away from you. Hey, I'm going to buy this cool jersey. Yeah, says the guy who owns too many jerseys. That's me, Paul. Hi, everybody. I have a problem. I wouldn't buy those. They eggly. E-G-G-L-E-H. Eggly. I don't like them. And I hate that every single sport is trying to do this stuff with, like, the modern looks. Like, no, it looks terrible. Baseball's iconic. It's classy. The new Astros uniforms are great. And this doesn't look like them in any way, shape, or form. So God forbid I talk about uniforms for 5 minutes today. But as the only fashionista on the radio in Houston, damn it, I need to be heard. And that looks like crap. Burn them. Burn them now. But we can continue to say, like, with the down-to-earth city, looking at the stars. I like that part. Shout out to Bernard King. Good narrator. Good voice. Good voice for an astronaut. I don't know, you know, what astronauts typically sound like. Also, one thing that, while I'm on this just out of nowhere rant, we need to, anyone who says Houston, we have a problem, should go to jail. Am I wrong there? Can we just, like, arrest them immediately? Freedom of speech, except for Houston, we have a problem. And, you know, I know that Elon Musk is in charge of Twitter right now, but anyone who does Houston, we have a problem, I want Elon Musk to get, you know, his whatever security team he has, seeing as he is a billionaire mogul, I'm sure he has, like, private security. I want him to take whoever is tweeting these things out, put a bag on their head, and bring them to some black site and just leave them there forever. I never want to see that online again. I hate it. It's annoying. Everyone says it all the time. Wow, the Astros gave up a run. Houston, we have a problem. Shut up and die. I hate it when that comes out. It needs to be banned. Anyway, we're done. I needed to get that off my chest. I haven't been in Houston for a while. It was so annoying seeing that in Seattle from afar and getting worked up about it and no one understanding the pain we go through. It is a stupid saying. It's not even the correct version. Anyway. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, I had an epiphany this weekend as far as what I want the Texans to do in the draft. That plus some of the things you might have missed over the course of the weekend. I'm going to try to do this every single Monday at 10:45 in case you missed it, to go through some of the things that maybe you missed over the weekend. Paul Gallant, Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I guess I'm going to die on an island with my anti-the Space City uniforms. Sorry, they look like Epcot. Congratulations, you're the nerdy ballpark of, you're the nerdy part of Disney World. Oh, but you could drink in Epcot. That is true, actually. I guess you can to the other ones. So, it's got that going for it. I just don't like the font. I don't like the hats. It's like too much. There's not enough contrast. It's like just straight blueberry. Blueberry Epcot. Nope. Not wearing it. Not me. I am sensible. Paul, you looked like a bottle of tequila over the weekend. What are you talking about? Or potentially fine china. You dress like an idiot wearing Hawaiian shirts all the time. All of those things are true, but that's how I feel. Sorry. Some of us are forward. Some of us are pioneers. Other of us, just go with the flow. Stay in the pack. Say what everybody else says.
These uniforms are great.
Paul, you're doing this for shtick. No, seriously, I don't like them. I that's the worst thing ever, too. When you see something and you're like, oh, wait, I'm the only person that has this opinion. Should I share it with the internet? Will I get bullied? Is it worth it? Will anyone matter? Will anyone care? But no, that's not how I'm feeling on that one. I had an epiphany over the weekend, and it's what I want to see the Texans do in the draft. I want to see them go defense with the first two picks. I would like them to take a cornerback with one of those two picks. I'm not sure which one. There's the possibility that maybe somebody like Stingley from LSU could potentially be around. I guess if at 13, I'm not 100% sure on that front. Also, Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati at pick number 3. I want to see them get a corner. I think one of the ways that you really can give yourself an extremely strong defense is by finding an elite corner that can really just take somebody out of their element in man coverage. Do I know that Sauce Gardner or Derek Stingley are going to do that this coming season? No, I'm not 100% sure on that front. But I feel like that is a position that they should be going with those first two picks. And having heard this offseason, Lovie Smith talk about what he wants at a corner. He wants a guy who can tackle. He wants a guy who's tall. He wants a guy who's long. He clearly prioritizes it with the way that he described it. I feel like that is the direction that they should be going in. And then as far as the other position, I mean, I suppose if there is a guy on the interior of the offensive line that they really like that's available to them at one of those two picks, they can go that way, but I would like to see them also go after a pass rusher. For a team that couldn't get after the passer this past season, I want to see them go defense. Only defense fans. .com. I will sign up for a subscription. Only defenders. I'd be fine with that. Offense, I get it. You want to give Davis Mills every chance to succeed, but I'm of the belief that, you know what, have in place a couple of years from now a really amazing defensive nucleus. And if you want to go back in time to see a look at a team that Nick Castario was a part of, you know why those teams in the early 2000s, the Patriots, you know why they were so good? Because they had loaded up on elite defensive talent and they had been around with that team for a really long period of time. Maybe it's a little more difficult to keep guys like that forever, but if you look at some of the players that they drafted in those years, from the mid-90s that were around for 2001. Willie McGinnis was a top 10 draft pick. Ty Law, if I'm not mistaken, was a first-round draft pick. Lauren Molloy was a second-round draft pick. Teddy Bruschi, I think Teddy Bruschi was either a second or a third-round draft pick. You had a lot of guys early on that had been drafted by that team that stuck around. Ted Johnson, second-round draft pick. They had a bunch of guys that they had drafted early. Like, they were loaded on defense, and that's why those teams were so good. Like, I know they came out of nowhere to win a Super Bowl, that one in 2001, but that was a team that had a lot of elite players defensively, and it added up to eventually a couple of Super Bowls in 4 years. Now, the Texans are trying to model themselves off of past iterations of the Patriots. We've seen that this has failed time and time and time again. I get it, and I get all the people that say, screw this, I don't want to copy the New England Patriots. I totally understand that line of thinking in a post-Bill O'Brien world, because anything that is Patriots is more like, oh, shoot, Bill O'Brien, this is what I'm thinking about right now. But I want them to go after defenders in the draft. Paul Gallant, it's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Only defense fans, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. So we're going to do a little segment, and we're going to do this every single Monday going forward, called In Case You Missed It, because sometimes you miss things that took place over the course of the weekend. This, I guess, didn't really take place over the course of the weekend as much as it took place yesterday. But, well, that was over the weekend. What am I talking about? Whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Frank Vogel is the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And a tweet came out on Sunday during the Lakers' last game, because the regular season is now over, that Frank Vogel would be fired. He will be informed of this decision on Monday. I have yet to see if that is official at this point in time. But what was really funny was to see Frank Vogel told this during a press conference. Unfortunately, it ended up getting censored by the Los Angeles Lakers broadcast. But he said that he has not been told poop, except for he used more colorful language than poop. That would be really aggravating to find out that your employer is moving in a different direction without them actually telling you, or before they actually tell you. By the way, this happened to me when I was working across the street, essentially, at the flagship. You know how I found out? Because eventually I was told, like, about 20 minutes later. All of a sudden, I couldn't log into my email. And, like, I was getting notifications on my phone and on my computer, like, your password is incorrect. And I was like, why am I getting this? It's like 9:40. I'm trying to talk about hot takes, whatever the Astros did the night before. Baseball Paul is on the case here. And I'm like, wait a second. Well, why is my phone saying, like, your password has expired? And then about, like, 10 minutes later, I was like, oh. And I got a text from the big boss. And I was like, oh, yeah, come see me after the show. And I was like, oh, crap. So I had like 10 minutes of knowing it in advance. But now Frank Vogel's just sitting around. And I mean, do you really want to coach the Lakers next year when you're being made to be the scapegoat for this team? And Russell Westbrook's being made to be the scapegoat for this team. But I mean, it's everyone. It's LeBron James for forcing this team to be put together in the way that it was, too. It's that, too. Anyway, the NBA season did come to a close yesterday, too. And by the way, the Rockets, congratulations, I guess. You got the worst record, so cool. Most ping pong balls in the lottery. Jalen Green played great down the stretch. That's one thing to be happy about. But the season is over, and the play-in tournament is going to take place starting tomorrow, Wednesday. I think they have an off day on Thursday. And then Friday, the last game takes place before all the other games for the NBA playoffs tip off. I'm not that excited about the play-in tournament. I know some people like it. I guess it makes it a little bit more interesting at the end. But don't you feel like at the same time it kind of continues to take away from a regular season? I hate how many teams are allowed into the playoffs in basketball, in hockey. Like, it's over half the league. Baseball is venturing towards that territory, and the NFL has also ventured in that territory, and I really don't like it. Perhaps I'm an old man yelling at a cloud again, but the NFL playoffs were perfect, weren't they? When you had six teams making the playoffs, it was perfect. Four division winners. Maybe the division should be a little bit bigger because some of the divisions compared to other ones stink. Four teams per division. Yeah, right. A little lame. Maybe how about 4 8-team divisions? Would that work? But in this situation, you would have had two teams with the first round by the two best records in the conference. And on top of that, you get six teams, 12 out of 32. I thought, like, that was a good percentage. if you have these play-in games being added to the NBA playoffs, now you're adding two more, essentially, that are technically in the playoffs at the end of the year. 10, 9. So now two-thirds of the league makes the playoffs every season, technically. I hate that. Get rid of that. What else did we miss over the weekend? Shohei Ohtani's scary. In case you missed it, he had a 119-mile-per-hour ground rule double. And every single time he makes contact with the ball, I don't know why he is able to do it in a way that other baseball players maybe can't. I don't know if it's his swing style or something, but good God, he is terrifying. We also saw Justin Verlander on Saturday. He looked really good. Noah Syndergaard was just better. Maybe if Justin Verlander had, I don't know, Alex Bregman in the lineup at the three spot, maybe things are a little bit easier for them at the plate. Maybe things are a little bit better for them offensively. Jeremy Peña, he had himself a weekend. 3 for 5 on Friday, 3 for 5 on Sunday. It's pretty good, especially when you're looking at him and you're maybe not, like I have been, expecting that much from him over the course of this season. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That is a brief edition of In Case You Missed It over the weekend. Up next, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. My question to you, did you enjoy the Masters as Scott Scheffler took things over and on his number one ranking in the world? Were you into it? Or did you find yourself maybe like me, being a 33-year-old that fell asleep watching the golf? Were you like that? Did you actually stay as engaged as maybe you've been in past Masters when you found out that Tiger Woods wasn't going to be a part of it? We'll talk about that and everything else on the table after a nice weekend, 3 of 4 for the Astros. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.